everyone, and welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Lelo Boyana, and as usual, I'm with my mates, Lighten and Gia. Hey, guys.
Hi, Lelo.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Yes, welcome back. It's good to have you back.
You're having fun without me, Kilibon.
You saw there were parts missing in there. That voice was missing, bruh. That voice was missing.
So
how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be back. Are you guys surviving with these lockdown? We're now on level 4. Does it make a difference to you?
I don't think it's going to make a difference to me. I'll definitely be working from home still. I don't think I'm going to move into the office anytime. I can still work from home.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm also in the same boat. Yeah, like I actually think I'll be working from home up until maybe it's like completely clear, because I'm also very paranoid. So I'm like, I'm not going outside here, because I hear people are not even keeping personal space at this game of all places. So.
Oh yeah, there's some infections. There's some infections at Discam in Boxburg. So it sucks that the places that you have to get your essentials at are affected in such a way. So and Western Cape is about 400 infections in the retail sector.
Yeah, I believe even Boshop, right? So it's like we're not even protecting the people that we, you know, that are helping us get essentials during this lockdown. Anyway, so we will talk a little bit more about, you know, the lockdown and what's happening now. But as you know, we have to always start the show with Know Your Continent. Are you guys ready?
Yes, I have been waiting.
Okay, so this one is not corona related. All right.
Okay.
All right. So this country, obviously, it's in our continent, Africa. The capital city was developed as a port for the slave trade.
The capital city
was developed as a port for the slave trade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Slave trade.
The region was a French colony for 58 years between 1900 and 98, and it became independent from France on the 1st of August, 1960.
It's Ghana.
No, it's not Ghana.
Oh, yeah. Ghana is not a French colony.
I said slave and you are thinking Ghana. You are
thinking Ghana.
No. It's in West Africa.
West Africa.
West Africa.
Yeah.
Right?
Sierra Leone?
No, it's not Sierra Leone.
We had...
Yes?
We had Sierra Leone in the last episode.
So cotton is their main export, né? Cotton. But
cotton
they also
okay.
But they also rely on agriculture and, you know, some regional trade as well. It has a 121-kilometer coastline. They have a high fertility rate in that country, an average of 5 children per woman.
That's an interesting fact.
The literacy rate is 38.5%.
Tanzania.
No, Tanzania is not West Africa.
Tanzania in West Africa.
Oh, that's East. Sorry, guys.
And only 4.5% of the population uses internet.
Yo, that's sad.
It was formerly called Dahomey. I don't know if it's Dahomey. D-A-H-O-M-E-Y. Dahomey.
Oh, yes, yes. Ooh, nice. Is it Chad?
No. So the country has a long history of with slave trade, obviously. The Republic of Benin.
Oh, damn. And I was actually doing a project on them just last week. Damn, that's sad.
Okay,
yes,
hi guys, disappointing. Why thinking you're too busy focusing on corona?
I think that is the problem. We are busy focusing on corona. Oh, shame, man. But the fertility rate one,
like, yeah, I know. Average 5 children per woman, so that is very interesting. So hopefully, we've learned something about Benin today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I definitely.
Did. Awesome. So now we move on to the office discussion.
In the midst of our own stress and fears, we acknowledge the material impact our financial situation has on you and your businesses, and the devastating effect our decisions will have on your operations. We can only sympathize with you. Excuse me. We hope that we will all emerge from this and get an opportunity to repair the collective economic damage. Management and the board of Edcon wishes you and your employees and your families safe, good health during the upcoming weeks. Thank you all for listening.
Gia, what are we talking about?
So, hey guys, obviously Corona, it's Corona everywhere. And just yesterday, Ministers Patel and Dlamini Zuma announced that we're moving to level 4 of the lockdown. The president also had his speech on his address on Thursday and Tuesday last week as well. So it's just been a lot of changes. And also they've actually even put out a call to the public to contribute to the lockdown regulations. Moving forward, I think the deadline is the 27th, which is tomorrow, the 27th.
Really? Wait, I didn't see that.
So I'll share that with you guys. And I'll also share it on the Office Podcast social media pages. But there's been a call to the public to participate and to give their comments on how they see the regulations being adjusted. Because obviously, and I think it's great because everyone's just been commenting and complaining, and you know, so I think this is a time for the public to come through, submit their suggestions on how they see things working.
Because I have a suggestion. We need wine.
There you go. So we must
submit
that suggestion. So I think it's great because obviously this is a trial and error for everyone, including the government. Europe in itself is a mess because it's exactly that, trial and error. There's mistakes being made, but it is what it is. So I'm hoping people do actually submit those suggestions. I'll share it with everyone as well, just the link, just to say. I saw the media statement yesterday after that press briefing. But, you know, just to go back to the days of just before the lockdown, you know, someone tweeted the other day, like, have you checked up on your manager? Checked up on your manager and how your manager's doing during this difficult time? Or have you checked up on your boss during this difficult time? And I was like, actually, do people actually think about their managers or their leadership during this period? Because obviously they probably like, monster, they're seen as monsters at the moment. And another reason why I think that today's topic was relevant is because just before the lockdown, you guys would have heard that clip that we just played.
Why do you say people are seeing their managers as monsters right now?
Because for example, I've heard there's a lot of retrenchments taking place, a lot of job losses. So naturally, in a process of anger or disappointment, it's almost like, are you as a leader doing your best to salvage the business? Are you as a leader trying your best to make sure that we get paid? There's a lot of pay cuts happening, and in retail as well. I know there's a lady that we chatted to in retail who says that 500 jobs in her business where she works have already been lost. And already in those conversations, there's so much anger and disappointment because in their heads, oh, management is getting paid, or management is they're sorted, they drive fancy cars, live in big houses, but we're the ones struggling at the bottom, you know? So I think at the end of the day, you always have to remember that this is something new that everyone is experiencing. And we're all human, right? So there are some challenges that everyone will face on all levels. And you would have heard as well in that extract that we played with the Edcon CEO, from 702 with Bruce Whitfield, Grant was crying, literally. And I think that just reminds us again that, guys, it's gushubile on all levels. I don't think it only affects lower end or top end or middle. It affects all of us. I don't know how you guys see it.
Yeah. Lighten?
Look, I feel like it's very crazy. And I think the specific industries that are going to be hit way more than others, like the retail industry and the restaurant industry, they're definitely, I don't think other restaurants are going to open actually. Because I, you know, I don't see it working. Because if they didn't even have facilities to, because now at stage four that we're allowed to, they're allowed to open, but only for delivery. And if this carries on for another month, which means that it's what, like 3 months now, if they didn't have any facilities to provide deliveries. So, you know, they're also lagging back another month, and it's just 3 months of no income completely. And I'm not sure if they're actually are paying rent or if they're getting rent cuts from their landlords. So it's going to be quite tough on those industries. And yeah, it's bad, guys. It's really, really bad. And I don't know.
I also don't think even those restaurants, not all of them are going to open. I mean, some of them are probably going to think about the operating costs for, don't you know, how many orders are you going to get in a day? So is it even worth it to open? I mean, I was thinking about Abu Flight Center, guys. What are they doing right now? What's happening in that space?
So I was actually chatting to someone who's in business development at that organization. And she was just telling me as well how tough it is. Like, she was like, wow, it's tough and it's not going to look good for the next 18 months. They've already predicted that it's going to take about 18 months to 24 months to actually recover from this. And it's surprising because it literally took 6 months to destroy this entirely. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take us about 2 years for them to actually recover. So then obviously retrenchments are going to be imminent. I've got someone close to me as well who's in travel, who relies on bookings. And, you know, there were a lot of cancellations. And even from the airlines, it's a little bit hard to get a refund. So it's a bit of a mess, you know. And sometimes, and I know that a lot of the management teams are trying so hard to communicate as much as possible.
Yeah.
It's not always easy. It can be just as hard for them because things change for them as well. Today there's a ministerial briefing. Tomorrow the levels change. The regulations change today and tomorrow. So I don't know. Like it must be hard.
Yeah, it's very hard. So you had a discussion though with a CEO. Tell us about her. So you had a discussion about, you know, how the impact on business.
So we definitely wanted to get insight into the mind of business leaders, you know, just to get a sense of where they're at, what's keeping them up at night. And so I had a chat, or getting into the mind of every business leader around the world. You know, does anyone ever check up or ask their boss how they're feeling or how they're doing? Because in as much as this lockdown has got us under the weather, it must have some effects on them as well. So I got to chat to Deanne, who's the CEO of Instinctive Partners Africa, and she's the head of people and culture for the Instinctive Partners Global. And she's got about 20 years experience, and she's led teams in different sectors, both in the UK and Hong Kong, and she's currently based in South Africa. And obviously, as someone who says that she thrives in unlocking potential and enabling measurable growth, this must also be a difficult time for her. So I figured she might be a great person to speak to, just to give us insight into what she thinks is a way forward for businesses and for leaders, but also just trying to get a sense of what's keeping her up at night. And this is what she had to say. Deanne, welcome to the Office Podcast, and thank you for taking time to speak to us.
Thanks, Kia, and thanks for your time.
Last night, I know that the president made an announcement on the gradual lifting of the lockdown. South Africa is currently sitting on level 4. We have been moved from level 5 as described by the president. He's also detailed some initiatives put in place earlier on in the week to relieve both businesses and citizens over the next few months. Can you just briefly share with me your initial sentiments post both these announcements in the last week?
Sure, no problem. I think, let me just state from the outset that I think that our president has done a remarkable job to steady the ship. I know how difficult it is to be able to steady a ship having to deal with uncertain environment with no clear end to it, where you're going to have to make some very hard decisions and you know the impact of that on the people that you are leading. So I think that that's been remarkable. What I think, so the stimulus package that was announced on Tuesday, I think was a great relief. I think the big challenge that we have as a country, though, is just how are we going to implement it? So how are those funds actually going to reach the people on the ground? How is it going to get into their hands? We've seen some councillors hoarding food parcels. We've heard some of those stories. So there's a real challenge, particularly coming out of the state capture, as to how we're actually going to use the mechanisms already in place to get the most needy the funds they need to survive. And I guess that that's the question that most businesses have at the moment. The announcement yesterday was, I'm sure, some relief. I know that we've all been looking for some guidance in terms of what this might mean for South Africa. So understanding that there will be some light softening of the restrictions. But again, there's quite a lot of uncertainty as to what that means. They've talked about the national level coming from 5 to 4, but what does it mean for the municipalities or the regional areas? So how are they going to play that out? If they have a recall to a higher level, how are they going to get the businesses in those areas to suddenly close doors and lock down? So I think there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. But certainly we need to start getting the economy going. We have 10.3 million people in the sort of informal sectors of bars, restaurants and delivery that need to get back to work to try and earn some money. And then obviously there's the real challenge around the education. So some work to be done.
That's true. And I think, I know one of the reasons why we wanted to speak to you, especially as a business leader, is because of the fact that we had obviously had, you know, had heard about the Edcon CEO's conference call with the suppliers, where he broke down, obviously explaining the severity of the situation during the lockdown and post lockdown. So we do know that a lot of industries are highly impacted by this, and it's going to take South Africa a long time to recover and get us back to where, you know, we would ideally like to be. But, you know, bringing it back to you and closest to you and how you operate as a business leader, how have you seen COVID-19 impacting your business and your people?
So you have referenced the Edcon call, and I think that that was certainly the interview with Bruce Whitfield and Grant Patterson highlighted early on the devastating impact of COVID-19. And I think that what it did, it made it very human for all of us. Leaders purport to have all the answers, or certainly try to show that they have a sense of control over this. And what this meant is that there's no control. It's a virus that is impacting South Africa and the world and creating devastation. So it created a human side to it. And I know of employees on the other side where Grant displayed a real human side to talking to the suppliers and the impact it was going to have on them. I also know of the other side where employees have been informed they've been losing their jobs by a WhatsApp and a company-wide email. So crisis of this magnitude brings out the best and worst in leadership and people. But it certainly highlights the need for leadership to possess a high degree of emotional intelligence and integrity in order to lead their team through choppy waters. We still have to build brands. We still have to survive the storm if possible. And in some way, we still need people that are going to stand behind us and will be committed to helping us rebuild after this. So what we do now will determine how well we can rebuild in the future.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know that, and this is why we wanted to chat to you again, is that human element. We tend to think that business leaders are robots, so we don't actually see them as human anymore. But actually, the reality is that you are humans yourself. You've all come up the ranks. And in as much as we think that you might be these horrible people with no feelings, the reality is, you know, it does become a bit of a challenge to you as well. But since the start of the pandemic and the challenges that all the businesses have been seeing, what has been your biggest challenge as a CEO during this period? What's currently keeping you up at night?
I think there are three focuses for me that are the challenges. The one very important one is my team and how do I keep them safe through this time? And that safety isn't just from a health perspective, it's also from a mental wellness perspective. There's undoubtedly an unknown element of how this is going to impact people from a mental wellness perspective. Mm. Isolation is something that I don't think inherently we are built for as social beings. But also we need to know that we are cared for and thought of. And we have a lot of young staff in our business that haven't had the opportunity of developing coping skills. they don't know what it looks like to survive a crisis. So we need to be thinking of them at all stage, and also how long this will continue. The other is keeping the business steady. And that I wish somebody had a crystal ball for. So the best that we can do is to work day and week in terms of reforecasting numbers, looking at our cash flow, ensuring our balance sheet is in a sound position, and also keeping our employees up to date with what's going on. Because if a difficult decision does need to take place, where I've seen it take place the best is where the employees have been invited to participate in coming up with some of the solutions.
This is brilliant. So,
while we are fortunate enough not to have got there yet, we don't know how long the lockdown's going to go on for, and we don't know how our clients are going to respond to it. And then the last is our clients. You know, we need to know, they need to know we're going to be around for a lot longer, and they know that they're going to need to be able to depend on us to be a safe pair of hands. And so we will need to start thinking differently for them.
And as a, you know, as a leader, part of a global organization, do you then have any advice or last minute advice for any other business leaders on surviving these choppy waters?
I think that we need, as leaders, we need to be okay to be human. We need to be okay to express that we may not have all the answers right now, that we're working very hard with the information at the time. We also need to be able to help people know that we at least are steady at the front. We may not have all the answers. We may not know what is ahead, but that we are steady and we are leading the team with a steady approach to it. Because the thing is that people need to know that somebody at least has the eye on the ball. And I know this sounds flippant, but there will be an end to this. There will be a new dawn. And understanding that there are many business and leaders who won't be able to survive this and open their doors, there are many businesses that will. And so we need to make sure that those leaders, both who won't survive and who will survive, have a good support structure around them. We need friends, family, and colleagues to get through this. And we need as many brains as possible to create a new future, because a new future will require all of us to be involved.
Ah, and those are the famous last words by Deanne Chatterton, who is the CEO and managing partner of Instinctive Partners Africa Operations. And she also is the head of people and culture for the global business. Thank you so much, Deanne, for chatting to the Office Podcast team. And we do wish you the best during this difficult time. And we know, as you do say, that we will get out of this. We certainly hope that we will, and we know that we will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kia, very much for your time.
So there you have it, guys. That was Deanne Chatterton. And thank you so much to her for making time to speak to us. It's clearly not easy for everyone, guys. I think on all levels, like I said, it's a bit of a challenge. And Instinctive Partners is on a global level. So if they're seeing the challenges but are still making the efforts to communicate with employees as much as possible, check in, ensure that, you know, cash flow is in place, then that's great. But I don't think the same is as, or I don't think small businesses in South Africa can say the same. I know that Lighten had also chatted to, you know, Maschaba, who is in the SMME sector in South Africa. And I think that is a sector that is being hit the hardest. Lai, can you tell us more about how that went?
Yeah, so I had a chat with one of the partners from 4.Africa, Maschaba Mabilu. And she basically summed it up to the fact that, you know, the effects are still not clear at the moment, but they're being intentional about remaining engaged with their clients, which means they've been the first point of call for bouncing ideas as they rethink their strategies and consider post-COVID scenarios. And this is like an impact advisory firm. So I think like what stood out about that for me was how it's more now than ever, is that the right term? But anyway, at this point, it's like more, it's been very important for service providers, for suppliers, and for agencies to actually give advice to their clients to bring their expertise, and the clients are relying on their suppliers and agencies for their expertise in this moment, because I think we're having the discussion that not everyone knows everything. So everyone is trying to get together to learn from each other and see how best we can move forward, especially in business, you know, in business and also just in general.
Yo, guys, but for me, I think the hardest thing about small business in South Africa is that there's about 525,000 of these businesses. And when the ministers did an update, sent out an update, only about 80,000 applications had come through, I think, for funding relief. So for me, it's like, what about the people who don't have the paperwork, who don't have the, you know, the know-how to where to go to get that funding relief? I think I always think about, oh, mama, that are selling at taxi ranks on the side of the roads, you know, Epara, pre-taxi rank, no taxi rank. Those are people that are in the informal sector. They probably don't even know how to read these documents, don't know how to write. They just, you know, one day decided to go stock up Batengisa. And this is, for me, I think that's the most heartbreaking thing for me, is that I think everyone else who's able to access these funding reliefs are able to do so. But what about the guys who can't? You know?
Yeah, and also how many of them, the ones that actually do apply, will be able to get some relief? I mean, I was just thinking about my sister and her husband. They're both unemployed, but they have this, it's like a room and a container type thing in their yard where they sell quotas and all of that. Their business has literally stopped, so they're not getting any income whatsoever. So, I mean, it's and I think when you see it, then you realize just the devastation that this whole thing is causing. So really, really sad. I don't know, and I'm also thinking of even artists. They can't perform, that rely on live shows and all of that. They can't perform. But I saw now with the level 4 lockdown regulations, there was something about the fact that local productions could go back. But how do you manage, you know, how do you contain and also maintain social distancing? It's really, really tough. And I think on the point of small businesses, you also have to worry about keeping your business afloat. Plus, your staff members also, the fact that do I just now focus on making sure they get paid, eating into your even personal savings to help your business. It's really a tough place for us to be in.
And some businesses have become very creative with it. So there are businesses that have been able to luckily migrate their businesses or services, you know, to digital platforms or online platforms. And like you were saying, the artists, a lot of them are taking advantage of this time to engage with their fans or their supporters. They've got IG live events. Black Coffee does an IG live event.
But they're not getting paid for it.
That's, you know, problem. What I'm saying? But at least they're monetizing that engagement. There's some that can get away with it, some can't. And there's also brand partnerships that are taking place where, you know, brands are paying some artists or paying influencers to still participate in campaigns that are digitally driven. So there's you know, luckily there are, you know, there's a bit of a shift. I know that doctors are also doing some consultations online as well. Although personally, I wouldn't do a therapy session online. I still feel like I need that, you know, that engagement, that, you know, one-on-one engagement.
The therapy session I would do online, it's the actual doctor consultation that I don't want to do online. I want you to touch me and feel my temperature. Like, you know, when you go see a doctor and the doctor, you spend like 5 minutes or 2 minutes and then they write you a script. I'm like, I'm a doctor. So that, you know, quality time. But anyway, luckily doctors are still open, so if you're feeling any type of way, you can still consult. And I think also we must encourage people to go get the flu vaccine, guys. Pharmacy, about Dis-Chem. I don't know if Dis-Chem, I'm sure they do.
Yes, they do. They definitely do. And I think also that is it. Also, guys, have you noticed how some of the, even in travel, some of the guys are actually starting to sell redeemable vouchers? So you pay now or book now at a discounted rate, and you get to stay or book at a whenever. I think things are much better. So I know, you know, even after the lockdown, I'll still probably be jittery. I'm not going to travel much or go anywhere until, you know, I feel like completely it's okay for me to go around. But I definitely wouldn't mind buying these vouchers just so that, you know, we can support, because it helps them with the cash flow as well for businesses. And some of the restaurants are doing that as well. I'm getting SMSs, emails. So I think a lot of people have actually come up with some nice innovative ways to survive during this difficult time and to help pay their employees as well.
Yeah.
So that's a plus.
Yeah. So just going back to to Dan's code, like I think with regards to small businesses, what is going to be key is how the government resolves, like finds a way rather of distributing the funds, because like you were mentioning now, it's there are a lot of people who don't have the paperwork and who are disadvantaged that they cannot, they're more than likely not to get the funds. So I think that's where the challenge is going to be, given like, you know, our systems and our infrastructure and all of that. How is that going to be divided so that each and everyone, at least most people, actually benefit from it? So that's going to be a challenge. And a second point that I had is that with people are getting creative about how they are, you know, approaching their businesses, like especially for artists. I was actually thinking about it last night, if the lockdown party is becoming the new club. Because, you know, like DJs are coming in there and, you know, Channel O has been hosting this lockdown party. Maybe this is how we're going to be living, having a whole club in your house alone. So
it's possible, hey. It's not the same, though. I won't lie. It's not the same. Definitely not the same. But I guess it is what it is. And until they find a vaccine for COVID-19, there's really nothing we can do about it, to be quite honest. Yeah. And that's just a sad reality.
Okay, cool, guys. So I think that brings us to the close of this conversation. Anything else that you guys wanted to mention in wrapping up?
So you know what I actually wanted to bring into the conversation as well? Chatted to someone in retail, because we were talking about retail earlier, and I think it's been a bit of a bloodbath. It's not being reported much in the papers or in the news flow. So I chatted to someone who's currently in retail, and they actually just gave me a quick lowdown on what's currently happening in the retail sector. And this is what they had to say.
Hi, Office Podcast team. Things are currently hard in the retail industry. It is only day 25 of the national lockdown, and my company is already sitting on 500 retrenchments. If you are lucky enough not to get retrenched, then you have to settle for a 30% salary cut. My colleagues and I are currently unemployed, and you can imagine the mental and emotional stress that we are all going through. School fees, car repayments, rent, bond, food are all staring at us. The hardest part is that the entire retail industry is taking a hard knock. So we don't have a lot of options on where to apply for jobs. So right now, we're not even guaranteed our salaries on the 25th. So we're actually living hand to mouth.
Yo, now that's difficult, guys.
I can you imagine if you're not 500 retrenchments already?
That's insane.
Section 189 is being implemented.
You get retrenched now during this lockdown, and then you can't even go look for a job. Who's hiring at the time?
Nope, or at least on that level, you know. So there might be people, companies that I hear there are still corporates that are still hiring, and you know. But at that level where you need people to be in store on the ground, no one's hiring because it's not operational, you know? And then I've been also seeing stories about people going to calling the Department of Labor and finding out that the UIF, they actually don't have any UIF contributions that have been made by their company. So companies have been deducting every month for the last however many years. But then now it's time to claim, and they can't because they just found out that their employers have not been contributing to the UIF. It's actually now it's like, so now it's about us finding out how do we, so I was actually curious this morning, how do I find out if my employer is actually contributing towards my UIF? So maybe I'll find that out, and we can just maybe post on our social media platforms just so that we can, you guys can go and find out, call the right people, email. Even go back and pull out your fax machine.
But you know, I mean, as an employee, these are things you shouldn't even be worrying about. As long as you know that, that money is being deducted on your salary, from your salary at the end of the month, and you are doing what you've contracted to do with that organization. Now you must also now be going to check
and checking.
And, doing what they're doing.
It seems
so that some employers are really, really, really unethical. It's disgusting.
You know, and it just speaks to what Deanne was saying earlier, that times like this really show character of managers and leadership in general. It's like it really highlights how people will either go like the bad route or the good route. And in that way, I'm glad that we actually have Cyril Ramaphosa as our president, because guys, it could be worse.
It could have been worse.
Yo, Trump, when I think of USA, shame,
they're in a mess, hey? But guys, please let us know your thoughts on the episode using the hashtag The Office Podcast, and also tagging our handles on both Instagram and Twitter at Office Podcast SA. Sharing is caring. Whatever information you have that we can share with the rest of the Office Podcast family, let's share. Job applications maybe that you know of, maybe let's open that up as well so that we can share with our family. And let us know what your thoughts on the topic. Any final thoughts, guys, on the topic?
No, I'm just saying, can I just go get a cup of tea quickly?
Yeah, I think I also need one.
And for this conversation, it lights in.
Yes, let's do it. Okay. Tea time.
So time now for tea time. I'm so excited. Lighten is going to distract us from all this Coco V talk. Lighten, what's happening?
Hello, guys. You know, this is like the lighter part of our podcast. So happy to dilute the seriousness and be just all fun and flappy. So I don't know, just sticking to a little bit of COVID though, before I move on to spicier topics. Did you guys see the comments that were made by the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, about the disinfectant?
I saw that.
Do you know that yesterday afternoon, there were 40 people in New York who had actually tried to drink bleach and so that they can cure coronavirus? And I'm just like, this is so irresponsible. And you know what's even worse? That
did they die?
No, they didn't die, fortunately.
But guys.
Yeah. But you know, the other thing that is quite irresponsible is that the U.S. Surgeon General, the surgeon of the White House, basically, is not even condemning what Trump was endorsing. He's just saying that people need to remember to consult their doctor before taking any medication that is not prescribed or
He knows if he says anything, Trump is going to fire him, because that one doesn't
exactly. That's the he's protecting his job, bruh.
Exactly. But you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, I'm so glad that we have Cyril, because I couldn't imagine going through coronavirus with Donald Trump. It's really unnerving. It's actually stressful that he's the president, and then you're also stressed about coronavirus. I just don't know how Americans are coping.
Yes, sis, yeah. I would. It's a joke, though. I actually enjoy his press briefings. If I'm up, I still watch them.
Yeah, I know. And also just, you know, the mayor of New York, Andrew Cuomo? So he's got a brother, Chris Cuomo, who's a news correspondent.
Oh, yes.
And,
you're right.
You know, his wife, Christina, has had coronavirus, and their son, unfortunately.
The
mayor's wife,
the mayor's brother's wife,
yes, Chris Cuomo's wife. And so she did like a whole blog post about how she's been treating her coronavirus. Guys, it was like Gwyneth Paltrow and her Goop website. It is so unrelatable. She basically said like vitamin IVs, you know, the drips for the vitamins that, you know, the boosters, the immune boosters. And there's also like a Peruvian bark. So the bark of a Peruvian tree. And I'm just like, for the normal person, where are they getting this?
Where are we going to get those things?
Exactly. And considering the state of America now and how it's really, really going crazy, and you know, with like people demonstrating in Denver that they don't want to be under lockdown, and predominantly white people not really caring to fall into the lockdown regulations because it's killing more black people in America than it is killing anybody. So it's just, it's been crazy. And I'm actually glad that our country is one of the countries that is actually doing it quite reasonably well.
Yeah.
South Africa, again, takes the prize.
And in other news, Anokia is happy about this. Kanye West has been satisfied by Forbes magazine as a billionaire.
Woo-hoo!
With Yeezy being worth Yeezy and also I think his land being worth over 1.3 billion.
Guys,
he's not happy though. Did you see
that?
Not happy with that 1.3 billion. He's like, it's 3.3 billion, but clearly someone at Forbes cannot, you all can count.
Like, oh my God. But guys, that couple amuses me. Like, they amuse me to the point where I admire their strategy. That couple is so amusing. I think what people miss a lot is, so the reason why I love the story is because I've been monitoring this Kanye West story for a while. Mm-hmm. You remember from the days when he went bankrupt, jiggy, yeah. Homeboy is not mentally okay, jiggy, and he can't think for himself anymore, jiggy, he's friends with Trump, jiggy. Like a lot of it for me has all been strategic. I feel like everything that has happened between that time when he was declared bankrupt and then jiggy, he's now into gospel. And he's, you know, he's singing, and I was like, what is going on here? Guys, we're being played. But it was such a good strategy. I just feel like Kanye West and Kim are business people. Like, those people are business people. And I know that people will mock Kim and call her stupid or whatever the case is, but I shambai shaili.
Yeah, no, they are. I feel like, you know, did you see all the memes coming out with Kris Jenner, like, pushing Kylie to the side and going to Kanye because it's the new cash cow?
I wouldn't call him a cash cow, Lighten, because if you look at, actually, I would like us to just, whoever's really interested in this thing, to read that actual Forbes article and see how they are shading Kanye throughout. And it's so sarcastic. It's like they didn't even want to call him that billionaire. He's the one that actually called them and said they need this so, article and all of it. And yeah.
So funny man, if you mentioned that. So there's a gentleman who's become so popular. He's actually an investment banker. And his name is Kaushik. Kaushik is obviously an investment banker, so he understands, you know, the realm of finance. Millionaires, and he had broken down the oil price saga during the week. So yesterday he also broke down and did a whole thread on why we shouldn't really take these sort of lists seriously either.
Yeah.
And how it's actually broken down. So what I'll do is we will share that. I think what we'll do is we'll retweet and reshare that thread, so that, because it's highly relatable to what Lilo just mentioned now as to why maybe Forbes is throwing so much shade. But he breaks it down in a few tweets, very easy to understand, and it's almost just like, so are these lists actually even worth having?
Exactly. But you know, like, I think going back to what Lilo was saying is that before we wrap this up, actually, is that it's also a different thing, right? What I find quite hilarious about this, our rap and like R&B and whatever this billionaires, Kylie Jenner, Jay-Z and Kanye, is that unlike Jeff Bezos, they do not have a billion chilling as cash. Like, it's, you know,
exactly.
So it's
like, yes, it's like, exactly.
You know, it's like there's levels to this billionaireing. So, yeah.
And exactly. The thing that his debts alone, just looking at his debts, like $100,000, over $100,000 in debt that Kanye West is sitting with. So it's not like really he's got that 1 billion chilling there by the bank in case.
And cash is king. Cash is king.
No, that is crazy. But going on to like our last two quick tea time stories. So I don't know if you guys have been seeing this. If you haven't been watching it, please go watch it. But Naomi Campbell has been having this YouTube live talk show called No Filter with Naomi.
Okay, I'm actually
guys,
for
it
now.
Is so good. She's doing it from home, obviously, and she has been so good with getting guests. I've never seen guests of that caliber go back to back on any show. And wow. It's quite interesting. People have actually been saying that Naomi wakes up and like puts her contact list in a randomizer and be like, oh, today I'm going to speak to Anna Wintour. Today I'm going to speak to Venus and Serena. Today I'm going to speak
Paris
to
Paris Hilton. Yeah, I'm seeing Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite like upper echelon of celebrities. But also what's really great about it is that she's speaking with people that she really knows. So you don't feel like you've heard that interview before, because with some celebrities, you know, you watch one interview, then you've heard it all. Yeah.
Oh, and it's like a very awesome.
Yeah, people open up, people, you know, it's very connecting, and people
so
like
on YouTube.
Yeah, yes, I just checked it now, actually. It looks very cool. She's got Diddy there, Jackie Aina, Venus and Serena Williams, Anna Wintour, Paris Hilton. Oh, look, it's a solid list. It's actually a solid list.
No filter with Naomi. Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Yeah,
check that out.
I got the hookup. And before we go, guys, like, I just had a question. Are the celebrities still teaching our children?
Well, I think that was, I saw a headline. I didn't click on it, but I saw a headline, a news headline saying that it was canceled.
Shame. That was bad. Shame, man.
It was so bad. It was so traumatized.
That was so bad, man. I understand what they were trying to achieve, but execution was not correct. I feel bad that the execution went south, actually.
No comment.
I actually cannot wait for this. no comment. I actually cannot wait for this influencer stage to fall off.
I know, you don't need to use influencers for everything. And that's what people are not getting. You know, everybody just wants to use influencers, but you don't have to use influencers for everything.
I think
influencers do play a role. Definitely we cannot dispute that, but it's not in every sphere of, you know, every sector. So just
And this is coming from an influencer herself. So you better listen, guys.
You better listen. You have to use influencers strategically.
So thank you so much, guys. It's been an awesome, really insightful conversation as well. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with us. So please do follow us and on social media at Office Podcast SA on Twitter and Instagram. And let us know what other topics you'd like us to cover for you during this lockdown, even though it's this new lockdown does not have a deadline, guys.
That's a thing. So you kind of just have to roll with the punches right now.
Yeah.
And
so
the funny thing is that it can move from 4 to 5
or from anytime.
4 to 3.
So we better act right so that it doesn't go back to 5.
Yes. Act right. Stay home.
All right. Cool. Thank you so much, guys. Stay safe.